Joining me by phone is Fox News Radio's Jonathan Savage. Jonathan, thanks for taking a moment.
My pleasure.
Jonathan, the big news is this ceasefire and hostage negotiations, and rumor is things are moving in a positive direction. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, as we speak, there is a great deal of optimism about the possibility of, at long last, a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas. The negotiations are taking place in Qatar, and the Qataris who are mediating these talks say that we've never been closer to a deal to end the fighting and free the remaining hostages. There are some reports saying that Hamas has agreed to the deal, and they're waiting for Israel to do likewise. There are other reports saying that Israel's waiting for Hamas to agree to the final points. But one way or another, everyone agrees that this is as close as we've come.
So this could be happening in just a matter of days then?
Yeah, that's what it appears. Of course, people have been looking to January 20th, Donald Trump's second inauguration date, as almost a de facto deadline, him having said that there would be hell to pay unless hostages are freed before he takes office. But certainly there is a great sense of urgency. There's people who want to get this over the line. The Biden administration would love to see this done by the time they leave office. The Trump administration don't want this hanging over their start to their second term in office, as it's so dominated American foreign policy over the last year or so.
Well, you're exactly right. President-elect Trump came out talking very tough, and you have to wonder just how much impact that has had on these negotiations picking up some momentum.
It does appear to have had an impact. Qatar's foreign ministry spokesperson says that statements by President-elect Trump and also President Biden have been helpful to push talks forward. And Donald Trump has sent Steve Witkoff, his Middle East envoy, to be participating in these talks alongside State Department representatives from the Biden administration. Anthony Blinken, of course, Secretary of State, has been involved to a greater or lesser extent as well. The Qataris say that the Biden administration and the incoming Trump administration have been working in tandem to make sure a deal happens. A very rare sense of unity there.
Yes, that is a rare sense of unity, but certainly a positive indication for the future. Jonathan, I have to believe, too, that for President Biden, this is really crucial because we all know there have been a lot of missteps and a lot of negativity surrounding his administration. He was pushed off the ticket. It seems like this could be something that he could hang his hat on, that could be part of that legacy. And I've seen some signs that he's really focused on creating that legacy.
Yeah, he would love to have this as part of his legacy. And people within the Biden administration, the Biden State Department, have pointed out that the deal that's on the table is the same deal, effectively, that Joe Biden announced to the world in May was the one they were working on, and the one that back then they were optimistic about managing to pull off. This deal, I should probably just run through very briefly what the provisions are. It would initially last 6 weeks. The fighting would stop. There would be an exchange of 33, we think, hostages in exchange for several hundred Palestinian prisoners. Palestinians would be able to return to a home to the north of Gaza during this time, although, to be fair, there's not much to return to. Israeli troops would withdraw to the fringes of Gaza, and at the same time, detailed negotiations would take place about a hoped-for final ceasefire, full withdrawal of Israeli troops, and a plan for governing Gaza going forward.
So a really extensive plan there, and it's kind of interesting that this is the same plan that President Biden proposed in May. So again, that's just another indication that perhaps those strong words from President-elect Trump maybe woke everyone up and put a strict timeline in place.
Yeah, maybe they did. That would be one of a number of factors which have brought us to this point. A source from the Israeli government, an Israeli government official, has told Fox that, yeah, the momentum coming from Americans has helped to create conditions for the deal, along with things, events on the ground, such as the death of the Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, the Hamas political leader Ismail Haniyeh last summer, the decline of Iran as a regional force as a result of Israel's military pressure on its proxies, and just general domestic pressure against Hamas as well. So yeah, there's a number of factors that have seemed to have brought the region to this point.
Jonathan, are you hearing anything from the hostages' families? What are we getting from them?
Yeah, the hostages' families have been speaking, making statements today, and we did hear today from the father of a U.S.-Israeli national, Itai Hen. He died in the raid by Hamas, the massacre by Hamas of October 7th, 2023. His body was taken, held hostage in Gaza since then for 477 days. But now his body doesn't form part of this initial deal. He's not one of the ones who would be released alive or have their remains released. And his father, Ruby Chen, saying that it is time for a deal that includes everybody. He says that his son doesn't deserve to rot in Gaza because he's a hero who has saved countless lives. So yes, while there's going to be relief and there's going to be a satisfaction, I suppose, from some people that hostages will be coming home, the fact that not every hostage will be coming home right now is continuing to cause a great deal of pain.
Right. And that's got to have these hostages' families on pins and needles, wondering, will their loved one be part of this particular deal? And then how much longer will it be before everyone is released?
Yeah, it has been 15 months of agony for these families. During the massacre of October 7th, 2023, Hamas took about 240 people, either alive or dead, over the border into Gaza, hid them, held them captive in conditions which are very hard to imagine. And since then, a number of them have died, although roughly half were released 5 weeks into the war. What Israel believes is that there are about 98 still being held hostage. Some are joint U.S.-Israeli nationals, but around a third of those who are being held hostage are already dead.
That is just heartbreaking, and I think you're right. We can't even really comprehend the despicable conditions that these hostages have been enduring. And one thing is certain, even when they come home, they have got an uphill battle in terms of healing both physically and mentally.
Yeah, and I'm sure there will be support available for them as they do that, and no doubt a great deal of sensitivity and a great deal of understanding from the people in and around them. This whole event, this whole saga, will leave a scar across many people around the region, people in Israel. For people in Israel, it was the massacre at the time, October 7th, was described as Pearl Harbor and 9/11 rolled into one. And of course, for the hundreds of thousands of people in Gaza who didn't ask for this, who have been forced from their homes, who have been living with violence, hunger, deprivation, part of their daily life for 15 months now, they, of course, will want an end to this war too.
Absolutely. Jonathan Savage from Fox News Radio, thank you for getting us up to speed on the very latest on these negotiations.
Thank you, Julian.